Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are going to be resuming our series on the morals and ethics of the Talmud, collected in the volumes known as Ein Yaakov. This year, we're going to begin a new series from Masechet Sota, the tractate that speaks about the married woman who was suspected, accused of committing adultery, the process that goes on with validating and testing whether she did or did not. And this tractate, believe it or not, actually does have probably a majority of the tractate is actually Agadata. So there's some halachic material, like in every tractate, but there's really a lot of Agada in Masechet Sota. So we'll see if we can cover the whole thing throughout the year. That would be a nice goal. Okay, so we start right at the beginning, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara teaches as follows. Tanya, we learned in Abraisa, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda taught, Lama Nismacha Parshas Nazir Parshas Sota. Why in the Torah do we have the section dealing with the laws of Nazir right adjacent to the section dealing with the laws of the Sota, which are both in the Parsha of Nasai? The message is, if you see a Sota, meaning a woman who's been accused of being an adulteress, you see her in her, Kilkula is her disgrace, because part of the process was very disgraceful to her when they would, you know, test and prove in the Beit HaMikdash to see if she had committed adultery. The whole miraculous process, it was pretty disgracing to the woman. If you ever see a woman disgraced by that, you need to become a Nazir, abstain from wine, take a vow of abstinence from wine. Because we know that very often in the case of adultery, there's alcohol involved. And so if you're a witness to such a case where there is a very close suspicion, very severe suspicion of adultery, the message of the juxtaposition of the two parshas of Nazir and Sota is, and you need to take a step back from the consumption of wine, and that way you take a step away from the possibility of getting into a situation of adultery. Okay? For the sake of all those who enjoy wine, let's hope we never witness a woman in a state of disgrace. That way we don't have to take the vow of abstinence. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, next teaching. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak taught, Ki hava pasuk Reish Lakish b'Saita. Whenever Reish Lakish would teach the laws of Saita, Amar Hachi, he would say as follows, In mezavgin lo la'adam isha elo lefi maisav. This was his intro. Very interesting how he would introduce the topic of Sota. Say, you only get a wife, Hashem sends you a wife that is in accordance with your deeds. You earn the type of wife you're going to have based on your behavior. Shenemar, the verse says in Tehillim, Ki lo yanuach shevet haresha al ger al hatzadikim. The portion of evil does not land on the lot of the righteous. In other words, whatever happens to the righteous is righteous. Whatever happens to the portion of wickedness will end up in the wicked people's lot, and that refers to your wife. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, v'kasha lezavgon k'kriyas yamsuf. It's as difficult to match a man and a woman together as it is to split the sea, which basically means as much of a supernatural miracle defying the laws of nature. Splitting of the sea is. That's how supernatural and defying the laws of nature it is to find a man and woman who can actually coexist together. Not a simple thing. Shenamar, the verse says, Elekim Moshiv Yechidim Baisa Moitzi Asirim Bakeshores. Hashem places individuals in a home and takes prisoners out in a Kesharis. I forget what the translation of Kesharis is. But the implication of the pasuk is that just as Hashem takes the prisoners out of Egypt, the captives out of Egypt, the Jews, so too He places the individuals, the man and the woman, together in a home, and then putting them together requires the same supernatural energy as taking the Jewish people out of Egypt and splitting the sea for them. They go in the same, sort of the same category. So if anybody ever has a hard time finding their match, it's not, you know, it's not pleasant, but it's sort of the default. The crazy thing is that people ever find a match. That's the miracle. It's very normal. It makes a lot of sense that people struggle to find a match. And we wish that everybody finds their match as soon as they're ready. You want to ask the question, Aini, that's not true. We learned already earlier that Rav taught that 40 days before a fetus is formed, there's a heavenly voice that rings out and says, the daughter of so-and-so will be matched to so-and-so. Which means, it's already predetermined who you're going to marry. So how could we say that it's according to your deeds? According to your deeds, we have to wait and see how you're going to behave. Can't predetermine. So the Gemara answers, Lo'kash, it's not a question. Ha'abazivik rishon, ha'abazivik sheni. When do we say that you get according to your deeds? That's your first marriage. But your second marriage, that would be... Oh no, it's the other way around. The first marriage is according to the predetermined voice in heaven. If you have to be married a second time, the second match will be according to your deeds. So that's how we resolve that question. Okay, the Gemara skips ahead to now take a look at the topic of sinning in secret, which is basically how adultery usually happens. Tanya we learned in a brisa. Homer, Hayar Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir used to say, the expression, this is an interesting expression. Generally, when the Gemara uses an expression, Hayar Omer, he would say this, means he would say this all the time. It was one of his mantras that he repeated often. He said as follows, Adam Oyver Avera Baseis, when a person transgresses and violates a sin in secret, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machriz Alav Begola, Hashem will reveal and publicize, Hashem will cause it to become known one way or another that this happened. In other words, you can't hide your sins for long. Rashi says, in the case of adultery, you may have done something in secret. Hashem will cause your husband to become suspicious and accuse you of infidelity, and that will become a public matter. Shenemar, the verse says, "V'avar olav ruach kina v'kines ishta." When the Torah describes the husband instigating the whole process of saita, with a little bit of background, in order for a woman to be formally suspected of adultery and have the whole process and investigation carried out, it has to start with her husband warning her, I see you're hanging out with this guy. I don't want you being secluded alone with this guy. And then if she does that anyway, now there are grounds to carry out the whole sota process. Why would he start that whole process anyway? Because the verse says, "V'avar olav ruach kina," a spirit of jealousy washes over him. And the implication is that was caused to, where did it come from? Hashem caused that spirit of that mood, of that feeling, I need to give my wife this warning, came from Hashem. The word passing over also has a connotation of announcement. When Moshe announced that the people should stop bringing donations for the Mishkan, it says, Moshe commanded and they passed, vayaviru, literally passed, but also literally, practically meaning announced, an announcement in the camp to stop the donations. And that's where you see that the same word is used as announcing, publicizing. And that's where we get this idea that if you sin in private, Hashem will cause it to become publicized. Amar Rish Lakish taught, Ein Adam Eivra Avera, Ela Im Kein Nichnas Bay Ruach Shtus, a general rule for sinning. Not that we need advice, but to understand the psychology of sin. What causes a person, what person in their right mind would ever sin? He says, yeah, that's exactly it. In your right mind, you wouldn't. The only way a person sins if a spirit of foolishness enters him. And you like temporary insanity in the courts, you're not thinking straight. Shenemar, the verse says, Ish ish ki sista ishtoi. When a person's wife will veer from the path of modesty. Sista, that's what literally means to turn off the path of modesty. But the Gemara says, Tishta ksiv. It could be read also as Tishta, which means to become become insane, to lose your mind. And this is the basis for the idea that in order for a person to sin, they have to become a little bit insane, a little bit foolish, not operating logically and rationally at the time. Just to expand on that just a little bit with a dose of Chassidus, in Tanya it's explained that what is the nature of this foolishness? What exactly is the foolishness, the foolish argument that you might make to yourself that enables and sets the stage for a person to commit a sin? Everybody has red lines. There are certain things we will never ever do no matter what, right? You will never shoot your grandmother. You'll probably never shoot another human being unless you're in real danger, but, right? You'll never shoot your grandmother. Come on, I don't care how much of a bad day you had, I don't care how, you just won't do that. And that's a really far red line. I'm sure there are other things that are way before you get to that extreme point. There's lots of red lines morally and religiously that we'll just never do, no matter what mood we're in. It's just not on the table. It's not other sins. Other sins, we're like, well, we rationalize it, we explain. So in other words, we have a red line for certain things. And for other things, we say, this one's okay. Deep down, we're basically telling ourselves, we differentiate between sins. We say, this one, never. This one, it happened. Lashon Hara is a classic example, because it's so hard to avoid Lashon Hara. And inevitably, we kind of, let ourselves off the hook a little bit, even though it's a terrible sin. So what's the foolishness? The foolishness is, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that really all the sins carry the same weight. In a certain sense, every sin separates you from Hashem. It weakens the connection you have with Hashem. It dulls your spirituality. It takes you out of that focus of the relationship with Hashem. And every sin does that equally. So there really shouldn't be any differentiation. If you have a red line for shooting your grandmother, you should have a red line for Lashon Hara as well. It's only the foolishness of this spirit of foolishness that the Gemara is talking about here that allows a person to start to differentiate and say, this one, very big deal. This one, meh. And so the moral of the story is that once you know that the whole thing is driven by a spirit of foolishness to differentiate between sins, you start to work on applying the same degree of a red line to everything. Hashem should help us all to never fall into the spirit of foolishness. V'nomar, amen.